This is Your Path with Bishop Mark from Dallas Universal Life Church in Dallas, Texas. Forget what you think you know about church.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. But to what will I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling to one another. We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We wailed, and you did not mourn. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, look, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Yet wisdom is vindicated by her deeds. At that time, Jesus said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The true gospel of the Lord. Praise to the Lord, the word, the light. Okay, be seated, please. Okay. I say good afternoon to you. Have you ever noticed that there are always some people who can never be satisfied or happy with anything? Jesus did. In our gospel reading from Matthew this afternoon, he compared the people of his day to children who can't be satisfied by any game or activity. Whether it is festive or somber, their actions reflected their lack of wisdom. Now, Jesus wasn't the first person that the Pharisees didn't accept. The people rejected John the Baptist because of his lifestyle, and they also rejected Jesus because he socialized with people who were sinners. The people of Jesus' time knew that a Messiah was coming and that he would set them free. The problem was that the people were expecting a military type of ruler who would drive out the Romans and return Israel to the glory days, the glory days of the reign of King David. They were not expecting a simple, humble servant. Like Jesus, John the Baptist was seen as someone other than who he really was. He was seen as a demon-possessed lunatic, and Jesus was seen as a glutton. John's austerity in dress and food underlined the severity of his message. Jesus, on the other hand, went to where the people were and became a participant in their condition, if not their sin, where the joys and sorrows played out in families, towns, and cities. The people of John's and Jesus' time rejected God by rejecting his messengers. Neither approach pleased them, because neither man fit into their mold. So they lodged contradictory complaints. In both cases, the wisdom of the courses of action of both men was proved only by the results. In other words, the ends justified the means. We often want the Jesus we want that we want when we want him. Excuse me, I'll say it again. We often want the Jesus we want when we want him. The people in Jesus' time were the same, and he was frustrated. The problem for those who reject Jesus is their awareness that taking John the Baptist and Jesus seriously requires people to change their lives. The elite did not accept John the Baptist or Jesus, but the poor did. The same situation exists today. There are those who think that they are so high in society that they don't need God. Then there are those who are so downtrodden and suppressed by society that they eagerly accept Jesus' teachings. There's an interesting contrast in our gospel reading this afternoon. Jesus is contrasting man's law with God's law. Man's law was formed as the result of the Ten Commandments. God gave the Ten Commandments to the Jewish people to guide them through the moral traps of life. But well-intentioned people added on to the law until it became its own trap. Religious professionals prided themselves on their observance of the law, but even they couldn't avoid breaking the law. The common person did not stand a chance of perfectly observing the law. All of these rules and regulations were a huge burden on the people. The law was a dispensation of terror. The Pharisees' rules were a burden in their time, just like man's rule can be a burden in our time, especially when dealing with the government. If you don't have every single I dotted and every single T crossed, dealing with the government can be a heavy burden. Not walking in step with the establishment is hard work and can be dangerous, but it can be done and has been done in the past by people such as Nelson Mandela, Desmond Tutu, Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr., and Mother Teresa. The world's way of lightening burdens has always involved transferring the burden to a scapegoat, usually the poor. God hears our cries and can understand the difference between cries of pain, hurt, anger, frustration, joy, and deep need. He longs to hold us while we cry, not saying anything, but showing immeasurable love through his powerful embrace. God will bring strength out of brokenness. He releases us from the bondage of having to prove our worth. We can live freely and lightly. He will never give us more than we can bear. Jesus came along and said to the Pharisees, "Look, guys, you don't need all these man-made rules and regulations. You don't need rules stating how far a person can walk on the Sabbath or how clean they have to be in order to be a part of society or what type of work people can do on the Sabbath. That is not the intention of the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments are rules for how people are to live their lives and treat their fellow man. They're not meant to be a spiritual straitjacket, but you, with your rules and regulations and determination to obey the letter of the law, of the Ten Commandments, rather, have forgotten about the spirit of the Ten Commandments. People might be learned in religious rules. Let's try it again. People might be learned in religious rules, customs, and teachings. But our main source for understanding God's way doesn't come from that knowledge. It comes from receiving Jesus and his message. In fact, strict observance of the law can make us blind to the Spirit's freedom that Jesus is offering us. Jesus went a step further and replaced all of these laws with the two great commandments, love God and love people. He told the Pharisees, look at how much easier and less demanding the great commandments are. They are a common sense approach to living the life God wants us to lead. If people obey these two commandments, they will form the basis for how people live their lives. Jesus And Jesus' invitation to come to him speaks to everyone who is oppressed. Jesus reaches out to everyone who will listen to him. He doesn't care about our reputation or social status. He cares about our hearts. Those who are heavy laden endure something that is laid on them from an outside source. Today, we would call it burnout. Jesus' form of rest is not the absence of work, but rejuvenation and refreshment. Most of you have seen oxen that are harnessed together by a yoke, as in the picture right here. They share the burden, and they work together so that one doesn't have to do all the work or shoulder the entire burden. Oxen are trained for a specific position in the yoke, so when they are put in the other position, they refuse to move, much like the Pharisees refused to change for Jesus or John the Baptist. In Jesus' day, the term taking the yoke meant coming under the leadership of another person and following in his or her footsteps. When Jesus tells us to take his yoke, he is inviting us to submit to his authority. If we submit to him, he will give us rest by sharing our burdens. We all need rest. That's why God created the Sabbath. The Sabbath changes the pace of our lives. It helps us restore our strength and helps us be still. It helps us to let go of our grip on our lives. Jesus is asking us to let him be in control of our lives. He wants to guide and direct our lives. As the old saying goes, he wants us to let go and let God. That one's for Baylor. Some of the yokes we put on ourselves are because of unresolved guilt and unrealistic expectations. We want to prove that we matter, but God tells us that we do matter. He created us to be with him and fulfill his unique mission in our lives. His load is light, and it is a radical alternative to the ways of the world. Christ will help us handle life's demands. Jesus' easy yoke is not an invitation to an easy, carefree life, but it is deliverance from the man-made burdens of religion. These burdens are the guilt of sin and its side effects such as depression, anxiety, fear, and doubt. If we accept the rest Jesus offers, all we have to do is accept his teachings as well as the obligations he will lay upon us. He invites us to treat each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. Taking Jesus' yoke requires us to radically change our behavior. Now, that is not an easy thing for us to do. We get comfortable with the way things are. It's like our favorite pair of shoes. It just feels so good, especially for society people. Sometimes it's hard for society people to be humble. Their attitude is summarized by the words of this old song, "O Lord, it's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way." Christ blesses the humble. The humble have a power that is beyond their natural abilities. Jesus promises to give us rest when we find our rest in him. He is our burden bearer. He allows us to draw the line where we can say enough is enough, but we have to decide to accept his invitation. When we turn the circumstances of our lives over to him, he lifts us up and infuses our hearts with fresh hope and wisdom. Some situations are just too difficult for us to handle. But nothing is too great for God. In the words of the famous old hymn, "What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer." He promises to refresh our weary souls when we cry out to him. A sermon preached on Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30, actually changed lives in a small rural community where two leaders of the congregation were quarreling bitterly over a decision about which they disagreed. When the minister pronounced the benediction and left the sanctuary at the end of the service, he wondered why the congregation did not follow him to the door where he normally would greet them. He returned to the sanctuary and found the two leaders embracing each other in tears, while the rest of the congregation stood around in amazement. As we come together to worship every week, we admit our hunger for God. God sees our emptiness and feeds us the choicest food, the symbols of his flesh and blood, in the one who invites us to take his yoke upon us and learn from him, for he is meek and humble of heart. We can let go of the heavy yokes of this world and take up the blessed yoke that is no burden, the yoke of acceptance of our own beloved self in Christ, the yoke of acceptance of the beloved nature of other weary, heavy-laden ones still striving all around us. Amen. Did y'all catch that one? I know it was a little, it's basically just saying, look, he's not going to give you more than you can handle. I said that to you before. You know that, right? But the point is, once you submit, once you, look, Jesus, he can take care of you. Trust me, okay? He wants you to let go of the yoke of this world that's burdening you and holding you down, right? And be on the yoke with him, and he'll carry the weight. His yoke is light, he says. So when we put two of them in there, he and I in there, it's really light. We're just moving right along, right? But he's leading. We're following him, right? That's the point there. Okay.
It is time for everybody's favorite part of the service. That's right, the announcements.
I could have seen that part, right? Look, you're ready to be.
Compliments, concerns, suggestions, or complaints? Compliments, concerns, suggestions, or complaints. I got a complaint.
What's it like?
We'll talk about it later. It's very simple, folks. You got one of those, you're going to need one of these. It's an email address, feedback@dallasulc.com. feedback@dallasulc.com. It's very simple. It's very self-explanatory there. If you've got a compliment, concern, or just a complaint, we want to hear from you. We really do. It's important for us. So please email us at feedback@dallasulc.com. Did you know we had two podcasts? Two podcasts. I'm finally caught up, folks. I have caught up. I have not uploaded the one from last week. I will play the new services over today. I'll be caught up. I'm caught up on the videos. We're finally there again. Folks, I apologize. We're running behind. I'm doing my best here. Okay, we had to catch up. It took me a little while to catch up after the anniversary and Pride and Easter. All of it kind of grumbled together. Then just, oh, wow. It was just crazy. I finally caught up. I'm proud of myself. I'm patting myself on the back for that one. But we do have two podcasts.
Two podcasts.
Now, one of our podcasts is Your Path with Bishop Mark. It's been around for about 6 years now. That is our sermons on Sunday and our the gospel in our sermons and sometimes special events and special services as well. You catch all that right there on Your Path with Bishop Mark. Now, how do you find Your Path with Bishop Mark? Very simple. Go to your search engine, your favorite search engine, type in Your Path with Bishop Mark, and I guarantee you it's going to pop up. Or you go to one of your favorite podcast providers out there and do another search for Your Path with Bishop Mark, and you can get us there too. Also, you can go to Alexa and say, hey, Alexa, play Your Path. Anywhere in the world, you can say that. Hey, Alexa, play Your Path, and it will play Your Path with Bishop Mark. I guarantee you some of them are going off right now after I said that. Promise. Now, the other one we've got is our newer podcast. It's called Life Lessons with Bishop Mark. Now, this was a little different. I like to call this one our TikTok of podcasts because they're only about 3 to 5 minutes long, each one. So if you have a short attention span, this one's for you. And it's exactly what it says it is. It's life lessons. Just kind of basically the core of all of our beliefs here and what we talk about and just something to kind of maybe think about. I think I like them, and I think they're going over pretty well. They're actually getting some pretty good hits. I'm proud of that. So, same thing here. If you want to check it out, just go to your favorite search engine, type in Life Lessons with Bishop Mark, or go to your favorite podcast provider and type in Life Lessons with Bishop Mark, and you'll find it. On both of those, we have a place at the bottom of the podcast or in the podcast somewhere that says, you know, you can leave a message here. You can type a message, or you can leave a voice message even to talk to us about. Please do. I see that people are looking at the thing. I know that y'all are reading it. Tell me what you think. If you hate it, tell me. I've got thick skin, but I want to know why you hate it and what you suggest that we do to improve it. It's that simple. Please, and you know, tell us what you think. I can't make it any better for you if you don't like it, if you don't tell me. And if you do like it, that's just a pat on the back for me. It makes me just much happier. Makes all our volunteers much happier. We'd love to hear it, really. Okay, moving on. You know, you can't make a difference. We are an all-volunteer church. All of us here at Dallas Life Church do not take a salary, including myself. We rely on tithes from our community here and from donations from people out there in YouTube land and Yahoo and YouTube land and Podcastville and the world to keep us going. And it's not cheap to keep a church going, believe it or not. The daily expenses alone could eat somebody alive. And we could use your help. If you like what you're hearing here, if you like the message of an all-inclusive, all-loving, all-forgiving God that we are trying to get out, please consider making a donation to Dallas Church. Very simple. Just go to DallasFuelC.com. Click on the button for donate. There you can have a secure page that you make a donation to us. All of the donations are tax deductible. We are a 501c3 charity, and we can really use your help. And we, you know, it's tough for us to keep the doors open. We don't sell anything here. So I think we don't have a commodity. We have an offer of what was freely given to us, which is love. God's love we offer to everybody else, but that's not for sale. We just need help keeping the doors open so we can continue to do so. And that's where y'all come in. We really could use the help. Please consider making a donation to Dallas Fuelc Life Church. Okay, moving on. Now, I always get, you know, Bishop, I love the church. I really want to participate. I want to pay. I want to help tithe and do all my things. But, dude, I'm broke. Look at this. I'm broke, too. Guess what? I don't have any money either. But so you can do what I do. And I volunteer. So can you. Time is money. And we always have something to do here at Dallas Fuelc Life Church. Simply go to the DallasFuelC.com again, DallasFuelC.com, and click on the button there for volunteer. There you'll find a list of the positions we have available for volunteers. If you don't see something you like there, come in anyway. I guarantee you I'll find something for you to do, and you can even suggest things for us to do. You might have some new ideas that can open our eyes and make things a little better. Simply go to DallasFuelC.com, click on volunteer, or hey, just come in and see me. I'll put you to work. I promise. Okay. Pray at DallasFuelC.com. If you have a request for prayer, this is what you need. It's an email address. One more email address for you. Pray at DallasFuelC.com. You can remain anonymous or give us your name. We pray every day here at Dallas Fuelc Life Church. So you can ask that your prayers be said during our daily prayers or during our prayers of the intercession on Sunday with the entire congregation. This is just one way you can get to the prayers, request for prayers. This is one way. It's an easy way. You can go through your email and do that. You can also go to our website, DallasFuelC.com, and click on prayers. And it'll take you to a page that you just fill out right there. You don't have to email us for anything. You just fill it out right there, and it sends us a message, and we'll get those prayers going in our prayer circle here. Okay? All right. Pray at DallasFuelC.com, or just simply go to DallasFuelC.com and click on prayer. That wasn't too bad. No? Okay. Let us rise for our dismissal. Not like, what do you want to keep, what do you want to get rid of? I'm going to try this week not to talk so much, because I did the video last week and I edited it and I talked to the whole thing. So this is more about y'all. I mean, I'll be glad to talk in and answer with you and do everything I can, but I want to hear your voices today. Mm-hmm. So let's go.
Okay, so the yoke, like the referencing the actual instrument, I guess mm-hmm. you could call it, is it saying that Who is it that we're connected to, that we're being led in by God, right?
Right.
And then who is it that's with us?
Okay, he doesn't really explain who we're connected to here on Earth.
Okay.
It explains that, you know, our burdens are there.
Yeah.
And we're you know, weighed down heavily with this yoke, and whoever's with us, whoever, you know, same thing. You know, we're just like weighed down.
Yeah. I was just wondering if it was like.
You know, they don't really specify, you know, what who's with us? It's just, you know, it's rough.
Because I thought it was Jesus because of like what he did for
us. Right. You know. Well, that's why Jesus gives us that invitation to let go of our yoke, to step out of it, and to get in the yoke with him, because his burden is light.
Yeah, and that's why he died for us, so that he could help carry us that half of it for us when we need it.
I love how Jesus says his burden is light. I'm sorry. I disagree.
Thank you. I was thinking just the same thing.
I think that's his humility. That's his being humble. Mm-hmm. Also, to him, it is a light problem. To him, but anything, if we had to deal with all that, boy, oh boy, oh boy.
I mean, compared to God, I guess.
That's what I'm saying. He is God. It's a Trinity. It's a whole Trinity. Yeah. They're all one person.
But I mean, like making the whole universe and everything like that.
Well, yeah, he was there.
Everybody, all
three of them were there.
It's all the different.
They've seen everything. They've seen billions of years that happened here, and who knows what else they've seen, you know? I mean,
or created and everything. who knows what the worlds they've seen, what are the places they've seen, what are, I mean, the options are endless. And
Watch over a lot.
Here we go again, we'll be thinking about the universe. And I swear I'm going to make myself go insane doing this, because it actually has happened to people. When you think about the universe, you think about, okay, there's the universe. What's outside that?
What's outside?
And what's outside that?
Is there another universe?
And what's outside that?
Another universe.
And what's outside that?
An infinite.
Where does it end?
It doesn't.
How? Where does time begin? Where does it end?
Where's it outside? Is it outside?
Our brains can't... We're literally... There are people that have pondered these questions, and it has literally made them go insane. Because it will. You keep trying to figure that out, you're going to go insane, because there's no answer for us. We don't understand it. We can't understand it.
Not yet, anyway.
Not yet, anyway. Maybe God will enlighten us as we move on from this world to the next, I hope.
I have a feeling it's a question and a philosophy, a thing that we can't comprehend. And it's something that we're limited to comprehend for a reason.
Absolutely.
And I don't think it's ever going to get to the point where we're going to ever comprehend it, because it just doesn't make... It's something that is supposed to just be mystifying.
Right.
Something that just shows to show that there is a God out there that created something like that. Because, I mean, the thing is... It's something that we can't even fathom or think of, you know? So there has to there has to be somebody that did, you know?
Well, maybe. Mm-hmm.
Because, like, a lot of the stuff that, like, how gravity works and how a lot of all the other stuff works, it feels like it's something that should have been thought of before.
Well, it was thought of, obviously. Yeah. These world rules and our laws, our natural laws here on Earth, are put here by God.
And there's natural laws that happen outside of Earth that goes with the universe, and that there's so many different
laws. And we don't understand all of it yet.
There's so many laws that we probably couldn't even understand or get at all. And so that's the thing, is like, somebody has to be going around making these laws and doing all this other stuff. And that's why
some people call that Mother Nature. Some people call that just the universe and its energy.
I feel like that has to be the way that God is telling us, hey, like, I'm up here doing all this stuff. Like, there has to be somebody doing this. Like, you've got to know that I'm here. Like,
I think we all have our vision of God as this bearded man up sitting in the clouds.
Right.
You know, look, it's not like that.
The being,
heaven's probably not a field of green rolling hills and light blue, Where does our soul go? I don't know. I know that energy cannot be destroyed or created. So that energy that's inside of us, that energy that is our soul, goes somewhere.
I think it goes to heaven.
I think so too, but what is heaven? You know, so you'll say, oh, it's subjective. It's whatever that person wants it to be. Well, I don't agree with that either. I don't think that's the case. I think it's someplace. I pray that it's as beautiful as some of us, or more beautiful even than some of us have thought. I don't know, it, to me, the way heaven is depicted into a lot of society about, you know, harps and angels and harps and clouds and you've got the gates and the lofty gates. And
that
stuff.
Reminds me
that, you know what, that seemed pretty damn boring to me. If I had to sit up there and listen to that all the time, that would be heaven to me. Trust me.
But get this. Have you ever seen that movie, the one with Robert or whatever his name was, that comedian that passed away, unfortunately, but he played in Hook.
He played what?
He played in Hook.
In Hook?
Yeah. But anyway, it's not that movie. It's another movie that actually depicted
what's the name of the movie?
Passed away. I forget.
Okay.
But he passed away, and then every single, he finds himself in heaven, and everything is... Literally, like you said, it's a work of art, paint, made out of paint and everything like that. So, and then he finds himself he found out that his wife is actually in what is considered hell or whatever. So he actually takes a journey, and hell is actually a place of basically not only the mind, but it also depicts whatever we regret or our worries, our concerns, everything like that. And so he goes through all of these steps just to rescue his wife, and he succeeds. But I just love the way they ended up actually depicting heaven, because
you love that.
What is he succeeding in doing? Joining his wife or bringing
her? He's trying to save her.
Yeah. Bring her to heaven.
How did they depict heaven again, Gavin? A work of art.
Yes.
But think about this. Do you want to live in eternity in a stuffy,
lofty museum? Or would you rather live at the pride party at Fair Park every year?
Neither.
Okay. Somewhere in the middle. That's the point I'm trying to make is, look, I don't think it's either one of those. But I think heaven is a place for our souls. And our, who knows where our souls are? We don't know our souls that well. We really don't. We know they're there, and we understand that they're part of us, and we hope to nourish them as much as we can, but you know, we don't know a lot about them. So I'm hoping that, I can only pray, and I can only imagine that this place is for our souls, for a rest, for a rejuvenation of our souls, and then to, on to the next step that we're supposed to go on to, the next journey as part of our lives. Eternity is a long time.
And then we'll think of all the stars and planets and everything
like that. Death scare anybody?
I'm not scared of something that, you know, I don't even know. It's like, you don't really know exactly how everything's going to be until you're there, right? Nobody knows the mystery of what happens after you die until you die, right? That's everybody's.
It's scary though.
Yeah, it's scary to know. It's scary to know that, but you know, I'm not scared of what happens beyond. It's just I'm scared of getting there too soon.
What if this is it? What if when your heart stops beating,
if that's what I'm saying,
you're gone.
So I'm saying I don't want it to come.
What if that's the case? Have you ever thought about that? We're human beings. We're made to have doubts. We're supposed to question things. And I think if you don't question, you know, life and death and the way things go, then there's something wrong with you. I've thought about it often. About, you know, I had a nightmare one time. I was riding in a car with Aunt Patsy and Aunt Betty. And I was in the back seat, and I think Aunt Patsy was driving. It might have been Betty, I don't know. But there's a turn right at Northwest Highway and 75. There's a turn that kind of, the left-hand turn kind of goes like this, and it gets blocked off and it stops because it's got, you know, the light over here is going this way. It's actually turned, you've got the, you know, the lane is actually turned there where you can stop there. You know what I'm talking about, right? Where the entrance ramp is on the 75. Well, I dreamed that our light turned green there, and we started going forward, and another car came this way and hit us head on, straight on. And all I saw was the car, it hit us, and then, have you ever watched an old TV, like with a tube TV, where it turned it off and it goes, and see that little, just the light just goes all down and then it's gone? That's what happened. And it in the dream, it went, the whole world just went, and it was black. Wow, that wake me up. I went, oh, shit. It scared me. And I think that's my own fear of death coming about. Yeah, you think about how many millions and billions of people have died, where those souls are now. Think about that.
If you think about all that too much, then you start to fear a whole lot more.
I think so.
And so,
I think faith has got to be our big thing here. Yeah. And that's the only thing that, look, without the stories we have, without the information that Jesus Christ gave us, the prophets gave us, without that, we would be a pretty messed up community. We actually wouldn't be here. We would already be gone and extinct, but there would be lawlessness. There would be no, I mean, if we didn't have the promise of something good after this life, why be good here? Right? Why not just live it up? Why go to work? Screw that. I'm not going to work. This is the only life I have. I'm going to enjoy. This is the only time I'm going to be, you know, 29 and 340 years old. Okay? So 39 years and 340 days years old. Whatever it is.
Some people do live like that.
More power to them. But you know what? What does it say in one of the Beatitudes? You know, blessed are those who this, that, and the other, for you get this. But they're saying that if you're not that way, if you've already received your reward, if you've preached out on Ash Wednesday or whatever on the street, and you show people that you're fasting, you're drawn in and you make yourself, you know, and you feel it, and the people see you and they feel for you, they pity you because you're fasting, right? Then your reward's already been given. You got that pity. If you are fasting and oil your face, comb your hair and stand and act normal and put on that happy face, then your reward comes from God. And that's what that's basically the whole thing there is. You live it up here. Look, he's not saying you don't have a good time.
Right.
He's not saying you have to suffer and be a martyr all the time. But you should be aware of things at all times. And there's going to be times that you're needed. Mm-hmm. Guys, we touch a lot of people in our lives. No matter who you are, at some point in your life, you touch a lot of people. And sometimes you don't even realize what your impact on that person is. Just the smallest thing you've done for them that you may feel is just so insignificant, may have changed their life. You got to think about things like that. That's why you have to be aware. I always tell people, be aware of your surroundings. Know what's going on around you. Always be aware of what's going on. If you're not, you're missing something. You're missing what you should be doing. There's always an opportunity to better something, help somebody, improve on. Take those opportunities. I'm talking too much. Talking about, what are we talking about here? We're talking about the...
The universe, people.
The what?
We're talking about the universe.
We're talking about that, but what about, let's go back to a little bit about what our sermon and our gospel today, what we're talking about. The yoke.
Yeah, so...
It's an interesting vision, an interesting tool he used to describe, how he would relieve our pains of oppression that we put on ourselves mostly, and he would help lift that from us.
Yeah, it's like
I will give you rest.
It's the whole thing of putting the arm on the shoulder and carrying them with you if they need it. It's something that it's selfless. You're not doing it for you, you're doing it for each other, for
men and women, for others, right?
Mm-hmm. Right. So it's a way. It's like, I could just get out of this yoke and just leave you
here.
But
you handle it. It's your problems.
But that's not going to get any. That's not going to carry whatever load we have that we need to carry together. Nope. And so it's a load that we both have to carry together. And it's something that's supposed to be.
Well, it sure makes it a lot easier if Jesus is there to help us, doesn't it?
Yeah,
and lift them that weight off of us.
Yeah, and it's a thing. You got to do your part too.
You do.
That's the thing.
Look, following Jesus and giving your life over to Him does not mean that you're going to sit on your ass and do nothing. Okay, you still got to get up and do things.
Right.
Your feet still got to move. That's what I say. Keep watching for those, because that's God telling you to do something. If there's something around you, you see it, you recognize it, you see that something needs to be done, you do it because God's telling you, hey, look at this. If you start thinking that way, you start seeing the world differently.
And if you he'll pick you up when you need it, but you got to get back on your feet.
There's an old poem, and I remember my grandmother had a piece of artwork that was printed on the beach, and it was called Footprints in the Sand. Now, I'm sure you've all read it. It's about the guys walking, and he's walking with Jesus, and you can see in his life, you can see their footprints in the sand. And this whole thing is about he's looking back on his life now. He's passed on. He's looking back on his life and seeing his life, right? And he sees Jesus, him walking, a lot of times he's walking. And then there's times when they're very hard in his life. Things happen, and people die, and he has struggle, and he loses his job, and he's only one set of footprints. And it happens several times, many times in his life. And he looks at Jesus, and he says, Jesus, why, when you were walking together and you were here with me in all the good times, why, when the things got so rough, you abandoned me, you left me? Why would you do that to me? And Jesus said, my son, I didn't abandon you and leave you. That's when I carried you. Isn't that amazing? Do you think that? God will give us more than we can handle. But it doesn't mean we have to handle it alone. We talk about the community here as a church, and that's one of the main things the church can do, is be a community of support and help and wisdom and just somebody to listen sometimes. Sometimes we all need that. I know I do at times. Y'all are lucky, I usually get the benefit of that. So this yoke, this thing that about Jesus taking it away. A lot of the stuff he's talked about so far have been rules and regulations. Kind of. Correcting the Old Testament, basically. Correcting what the Jews had taken, the Ten Commandments, and made into, you know, hundreds of rules. We talked about that today in one of the stories, right? Well, that was not what the Ten Commandments were made to be. They weren't made to be 100 million rules. They were meant to be the Ten Commandments. So that's what he said. Go back. Look, this is not what it is. You're doing this wrong. And he did it a lot. He would try and correct people a lot. But this time, yeah, he corrects them a little bit with that. But his main message here is, look, let me help you. Give me your burden. Let me handle. I can handle it. So it's almost a switch in tone at this point. And I think it's very interesting to see that coming. It's just, he shows the epitome of a man for others. You know, he says, I'll take it on. I can handle it. An old saying, he's not heavy, he's my brother. It's like an old saying, you know? If you're not lifting somebody up in this world, if you're not helping somebody and carrying them, if you're not doing something to better others' lives, while at the same time bettering your own, you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. When I say that we're men and women for others, I say it for a reason. That's why we're here. We're here to serve and worship God. And one of the best ways to do that is to serve and worship. Serve, not worship. Serve each other. Mm-hmm. Right? Through how many ways we can do that? We can do it with our talents, with our gifts, with our time, with our money. All those things we can give to somebody else. We're not meant to be rich. We're not meant to be opulent. We're not meant to be arrogant and stuck up and snobby and all these things that some of these Christian churches that we have just up the street here, mm-hmm, in some of the higher end parts of Dallas. You don't have a certain kind of car or a certain kind of suit on, or you don't go there. You're not allowed.
So dress code.
Huh?
So dress code kind of?
Well, partially, but I think it's also meant to keep people out. Good. Yeah, please go to the restroom. I'm sorry. I think it's also meant to keep people out. When they say, you know, you must wear a certain tie and shirt when you come in. Well, not everybody has that, and a lot of people don't have money to have that. And church is not about dress code. Look, I expect you guys, when you come in here, to be dressed appropriately. I don't expect you to come in your Speedo or anything else. You know, none of us have a lot of money. None of us do. So I can't say, oh, you have to wear a tux every time you come to church or you can't come in. Do you think Jesus would say that?
No.
Come on. But it's just that. It's just the rules that they come up with, you know. Again, putting rules on ourselves that God didn't. I talked about before that Jesus gave one commandment. I say the one commandment he gave was love each other as I've loved you. I think it's the most important thing in the world. And of course today I talked about, it's actually two great commandments. Love God, mm-hmm, and love one another as I've loved you. The love God part, I think, was, to me, that was always just a given. So I think I would say the one commandment. That's what it is. Love God and love one another the way I've loved you. When you're doing that, how could you possibly do wrong? If you're doing that, you can't do wrong. You can't. The fact of loving each other the way Jesus loved us, the reason that's up here, okay? All these rules that we've made, all these things, the commandments and these things like that, they're made to help us get to that pinnacle, to that point of love each other the way I've loved you. Because that's hard to do.
So I guess in a sense it's true what you said. Earth is more of a training ground, because
I believe that.
And it even says in the Bible, like it says, how can I trust you with the riches of heaven if I cannot trust you with the riches of earth?
And look what we've done to the earth. Yeah, I do believe it. I believe that earth, our time here on this earth, is training. We all are learning constantly. You know, it's not like we're sitting on our butts here and just relaxing and enjoying the sun. Some of us are. Not my place to judge, but I pray for them. You know, I do. But yes, I believe that we all are learning the same thing here. If you really look at it, we're all learning the same things. We're learning how to live with each other. We're learning how to coexist. We're learning how to love. Mm-hmm. We're learning how to exist with each other. We're learning how to just be this community of people in love. Mm-hmm. And I think that's got to be something that's being carried over into our next life, because I do believe this is a training ground. I do believe this is time for us to learn. And if we don't learn this stuff, we might be in trouble in the next one. We need to have this to move on. We need to have these certain traits and these ideas and these lessons learned.
That way we can properly comprehend.
We can use what we need to use there. Right. Right. Yeah. It's like going through, you know, through grade school. You go through grade school so you can get to junior high. If you don't finish grade school, if you don't graduate from junior high, you're going to be screwed, right? Think about living your first 12 years of your life, and you don't go to school at all. Don't go to school at all. Okay? You're hanging out the streets and playing and going here and there and just living at home and playing Nintendo or whatever you're doing, right? And then they say, okay, you're going to seventh grade. You got seventh grade English and seventh grade math and seventh grade science, and you got to learn it all. How do you think you're going to do? I'll tell you how you're going to do. You're going to fall flat on your face because there's no foundation there to build on. So I think that's what we're talking about here. This time on this earth is a foundation. It's hard for a reason. Mm-hmm. But Jesus Christ gives us an out. He says, look, I know it's hard. I know it's hard. Let me help you. I'm not going to take it all for you. I'm not going to go do the whole thing. I've already died for you, for God's sake. You know?
Right.
But I will help ease your burden. Have you ever been doing a job, doing something really hard, like working out in the sun or something by yourself one day, and you're just like, everybody else is going around doing ride around their air conditioning cars, and you're out in the sun, putt shoveling something or doing something, working in the yard, something that you have to get done, right? And you're sweating, and you see all these other people in their cars, air conditioning cars driving by, and they're having a good old time, and you're just like, why am I doing this by myself? Why can't somebody help me? You ever felt that way? It's like, why am I being punished here? But you're not. That's what I say. We have to be men and women for others. We have to recognize when there's a need for us. We all have different talents. All of us have different talents. And we can't do the same thing. I can do certain things with y'all. Y'all can do certain things. And y'all do. Every congregant that's ever come in here has taught me something. And I find that amazing. It's invaluable to me. I think I've learned probably more than any of y'all have learned. And I think that's amazing. You talk about the preacher teaching the congregants. Let me tell you something. The congregants teach me a whole lot. It makes me a better person, a better pastor, a better bishop. And hopefully I can pass that on to y'all and make your lives a little easier. Make your lives a little more meaningful. Make our lives count. Because we do. You know, I started talking down my soapbox again, didn't I?
Yep.
I can't help it. It's just what I do. The Holy Spirit starts channeling through me, and I can't stop. Mm-hmm. So I feel like I'm like my dad's former father-in-law who passed away. He was Puerto Rican, right? And he had an accent, thick accent. Now he would tell me, "Have you ever felt the Holy Spirit? It makes you want to dance. It makes you want to dance." His legs would be going. If you think about it. That's what it is. When you get that energy going through your body, you can't be still. You just want to tell everybody, and you get up. And that's what all these people. That's just why you see evangelists like that. And so many people are preaching, and they're just ecstatic. They just can't stop moving. Except for some of the bigger guys. You know, it's a little harder for them. We won't mention any names. But no, seriously, that energy going through you is something I can't describe to anybody else. I mean, it's amazing when you feel the Holy Spirit going through you, and you're whoosh. It's amazing. I feel humbled that the Holy Spirit would ever use me as a mouthpiece. Honored, in fact. Let's pray our way out of here, guys.
Shall we?
Yeah. Y'all look like y'all are losing you already. Y'all are kind of going off into another world. Let them know your thoughts. Father in heaven, help us to accept the gift of sharing the yoke with Jesus. Help us to understand that we don't have to carry all of our burdens alone. Help us to have faith that we will always be provided for no matter what, because of your gracious love and forgiveness. Lord, watch over us this week as we continue in this beautiful summer and hot weather here in Texas. Please watch over everybody else who's out in the weather and the heat today and this week. Watch over our families. Keep us safe. And bring us back next week for another beautiful service. In your name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. Gavin.
I know.
Get the list.
I got it.
Get the list. You sign off on it.
All right.
Every little one. Did I sign off on the round table? I didn't, did I? No. Let's do that right now. Where's the round?